what kind of preacher would I be? What kind of biblical preacher would I be if I failed to also talk about what the kids today would call H-E double hockey sticks? I don't know, maybe it's been a while. Or maybe never that you've heard a sermon on hell. Is that something that you remember ever having? Maybe for some of you, you'll remember this movie clip. I looked for a good version of it, but couldn't find it. So I'll just describe it to you. At council, we were talking about my sermon topic, and one of the men on council said, "You know what? There's this movie that I remember watching. If I remember right, it was made in 1960. It's the movie Pollyanna. I had never seen it. Maybe you have, but there's a preacher in the movie Pollyanna who is a hellfire and brimstone preacher. And the one line that our elder had vividly pictured in his mind was this fire and brimstone preacher up there saying, 'Death comes unexpectedly.' And while he's preaching, the chandelier is shaking, and Pollyanna and family are you know, they're all like trying to take this all in, and quite a scene. Fire and brimstone. Well, maybe you're thinking, man, really? Pastor Barry? You're going to do a sermon on hell? We'd rather have something positive and something encouraging. I think we'll find some encouragement here. Maybe you don't want to hear it. And maybe when it comes to hell, you know what's in the Bible, but maybe you don't really believe it. Do we really think that people will go to hell? In our heart of hearts, do we really think in our heart of hearts that God would send people to hell? So I want to address some disconnections that we have from the concept, the picture of hell that we have in the Bible. Now, one of those disconnects has to do with sin in the world today. We see the sin of the world. And in our own lives, we also see sin, but very often, what don't we see when it comes to the sin of the world and when it comes to our own sin? We don't see any punishment. We get away with it. Decades and decades go by, and we don't see any ill effects of sin. We see people sinning and sinning all the more, and maybe some of those people are getting ahead in life. Or maybe we sinned when we were young, and we totally got away with it. You know, for me, I, in fifth grade, was involved in a food fight at breakfast. It was coffee cake morning. And all of us fifth grade boys were throwing coffee cake at one other fifth grade boy. The entire fifth grade boy class, we were all at breakfast, we were all throwing coffee cake, and they drug us all upstairs by the principal's office. There was a big wooden bench, and they went one by one, asking each one of us if we were involved in the food fight. They'd ask the first guy. Yes, I was involved. And it went this way all the way down the line. Well, where was I sitting? I was last. And what was I in fifth grade? I was a liar. And when it got to me, I'm thinking to myself, what are all of these other guys doing? Confessing. I'm like, absolutely not. Wasn't involved. Wasn't part of that. I just had my breakfast. They said, all right, Barry, you head back to, you know, you head to class. The rest of you have a 3-day out of school suspension. And I was like, oh man, I got away with it. I got sent back to class. No 3-day out of school suspension for me. And you know what? That lie never caught up with me throughout all of fifth grade. None of the guys gave me a hard time. Nobody turned me in or anything like that. I got away with it there in fifth grade. Or what about that time when I was doing close to 100 down the interstate in the middle of the town that I grew up in, and I heard some sirens. So I immediately took the first exit that I could find. And after I took that exit, I got on the main road there. I think it was F Avenue. And then as soon as I could, I pulled off into a housing development and backed into a parking spot, turned the car off, and I heard sirens go by on the main road. Was that siren for me? I was pretty sure that it was. After sitting for quite a while, I turned the car on and I drove home a different way. It's very possible that I got away from that ticket. Did I have any ill effects? Did I receive any punishment for that? No. Did it catch up with me years later? It did not. This is our disconnect. We see the sin of the world. We have sin ourselves, but we get away with it. Yeah, some things get caught, but you and I both know not everything. And because of this, here's our perspective. Here's the disconnect that we have when it comes to hell. We don't face punishment now, and we haven't faced punishment for decades. We start to think, you know what? Can there really be punishment at the end? Maybe not, is the disconnect that many people have. And it makes sin no big deal. And it makes hell no big deal either. We're not even going to talk about it. We're not going to worry about that. It sounds so far away, and we've not faced any punishment. One preacher would call this our corrupted contemporary Christianity, where we only focus on Jesus' love, mercy, and grace, and we never, ever even consider judgment. But like I said, what kind of a biblical preacher would I be if I only talked about heaven and never talked about H-E double hockey sticks? So, that's where we're at today, and we're going to look at some words from Jesus, and maybe there's some stuff in here from Jesus that might be surprising to you or something that you never really considered or thought about. So, today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 up to 30. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 21 up to 30. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, does Jesus talk about hell? And if he does, is he just saying that to scare people, or is he for real? Is he bringing the truth? All right, well, let's pray, and then we're going to take a look at one of Jesus' sermons. Maybe you would say that... Yeah, maybe you've wondered, is Jesus a fire and brimstone preacher? He could be. I'll let you decide when we get to this. Gracious God, we thank you for continuing to bring us the truth about your word, about who you are, and about our future. Lord, we've heard all about heaven. Now, Lord, we wonder also about hell. Lord, we have questions that we would like to have answered, things that we wonder about. Lord, give us guidance today as we talk through some of the details about hell. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 5, we're going to start off with verse 21. This is part of Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anybody who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way. Or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Yes, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, he brings us grace and mercy and peace, but he also brings the sober truth. Sin actions, the sins that we commit, they are deserving of punishment. And not only sin actions, but here we find out that even sin thoughts are also deserving of punishment. So not only if we murder someone are we in danger of the fires of hell, but if we think about it or have unrighteous anger in our heart towards our neighbor, that also is deserving of punishment. Or in the case of adultery, it's the actual sin of adultery, but also lust in the heart is worthy of punishment. So here Jesus tells us to pluck out our eye or cut off our hand. Now, I don't think as Christians we need to go around actually dismembering ourselves, but it is a very strong picture from Jesus about the reality of the fires of hell. Hell's a big deal. Jesus doesn't bring this in just to scare us. Rather, he brings us the truth about eternal life. Here's what we don't realize. I said one of our disconnects is we think that we're getting away with sin because we don't see any of the punishment now. But the truth is we're not getting away with sin at all. See, right now, God is showing his tremendous tolerance and patience to all of humanity. He's showing us the incredible richness of his kindness right now. And he's giving us time to repent. I think about Romans 2, verse 5. We hear this from Paul. He says, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself." Well, if we're storing up good things here on earth, we're storing up treasures where? In heaven. We're called to store up our treasures in heaven. But what if we're storing up things the other direction? If we're storing up our treasures in hell instead of heaven, it's like our sins are just piling up upon themselves more and more and more. As Christians, we should really be way more offended by our own sin than we are. And it's a tremendous reminder that we need to turn to Jesus with true repentance and faith. Seek the Lord now while he can be found. We are now experiencing the riches of his kindness, his tolerance, his patience, and his grace. We have time now to seek the Lord, to ask God to change our broken hearts. And this is, I think, one of the reasons why we need to maybe not 100% focus on hell, but talk about it. And it is because understanding our condition as sinners and understanding where sinners will end, unrepentant sinners will end up, it gives us a greater appreciation for Jesus and the work that he has done on the cross. You know, there are many people out there that think Jesus was just a good moral example, and that he died to be an example for us to show what it means to be humble or to have humility. That's what Jesus did on the cross. But we don't stop there. We recognize that sinners deserve the wrath of God, deserve punishment for the sin that's been piling up, and that Jesus took the wrath of God for us on the cross so that we have a greater appreciation for what Jesus has done. He's not merely just a good teacher or a moral example. He is the Lamb who died for us, the one who bled on the cross so that we would be covered by his precious blood and have eternal life because of what he's done for us, that he was our substitutionary atonement. Understanding sin and hell, we understand who Jesus is better. That he's more than just an example. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our atoning sacrifice. We were enemies of God, but no longer. Not because of anything we've done, but because of Jesus. Death on the cross by Jesus truly and surely rescues us from hell. Maybe you think to yourself, you know, I was never destined for hell. As an unrepentant sinner, you were. But you are not any longer because of Jesus. It's how great his death on the cross is for us. It's a good time for us to talk about these things as we approach Easter. That's what Easter is all about. His atoning sacrifice for us, so that we will not be in hell, but rather heaven. My hope is that you get it, and that your picture of Jesus and your love for Christ and your obedience to Jesus raises all of the more because you know just how great his sacrifice was for us. Now, what is hell? Maybe you've have a few questions. I might answer a couple of them for you today, give you some more details. Well, let's lay this out in the way that the Bible lays it out. So, we've been talking about heaven. Now we're also talking about hell. I've had questions on this. So, if I'm a follower of Jesus, I've repented of my sins, and I know that he is my Lord and my Savior. I've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that I'm going to be going to heaven. Well, what about the people that aren't going to heaven? Are they just going to be in the grave? Is there anything happening with them? Like, what happens with people that die and don't go to heaven? Biblically speaking, they will be going to hell. There's one direction or the other, heaven or hell. There's not an intermediate between the two, nothing like that. Heaven or hell. When your body goes in the ground, your soul goes to heaven or your soul goes to hell. And once you're down the path, either to heaven or to hell, there's no changing course in the afterlife. There's no changing course. You're on the path that you're on. Now, when we described heaven before, we talked about heaven being perfect blessedness. Perfect blessedness. Alternately, now that we talk about hell, instead of perfect blessedness, is perfect misery. Perfect misery. Now, certainly, people have to deal with misery here on earth because of their sins. But, like I said, we're in a time of grace. And there are pleasures and diversions in this life, so we don't have to think about our sins. We have pleasures and diversions, so we don't have to think about hell. We can focus on other things, but in hell, it will be perfect misery. There will be no diversions. There will be no pleasures. And this is another question that I get. People in hell will wish that they could just cease to be. They will wish that when they got to hell, that they would just be annihilated, that they would be no more. But that's not how it's going to go. They will continue to be forever and ever and ever. It is not escapable, and the consuming fire will not relent. It is eternal, just as heaven is eternal. We're talking about everlasting pain and darkness and agony and distress and torment and trouble and weeping. Now, just like heaven, hell, if you were to go there right now, is temporary in a way. Not that your punishment is just a temporary thing, but that there will be a day that Jesus is going to return. And on Judgment Day, those that are with Jesus, they will have bodily resurrection, and they will be with God and Jesus forever in the new heavens and the new earth. And the hell now is temporary only in that on Judgment Day, all of those that are in hell are also going to raise bodily. and will be judged and will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is eternal hell. So going to hell, going to heaven, they're both going to be following that end of time judgment day resurrection. But people that are in hell will continue down that path, where people that are in heaven will continue with the Lord. And again, we're not talking about the lake of fire being a place of annihilation, ceasing to be, but eternal is the way that Scripture puts it. Now, just like heaven is a real place, hell is also a real place. And hell, we also hear, we in Scripture we hear about the fires of hell, and I'm sure that that's a description given to us that we can picture and understand right now, but I am sure that it is way worse than what we can imagine. Just like heaven, I'm sure, is way greater than we can imagine. Now, for another misconception, this is another question that people have. Is hell the absence of God? Is that what hell is? Just being in a place where God isn't? In a way, yes, but in another way, no. And the way that we are absent from God is in this. We hear in Scripture that God turns his face from those that are in hell. So they are absent of his mercy and his grace, and they are separated from his blessing. So in a way, we people in hell are, have absence from God. But we also recognize that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere, always, when it comes to all of his creation, and that includes hell. Think about it this way. David says this in Psalm 139. He says, "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths," or if you're in the King James Version, hell, "you are there." There is nowhere we can be apart from the presence of the Lord because he is omnipresent. He is everywhere. So in a way, the Lord's face is turned away from those in hell, and there's the absence of his mercy and his grace and his blessing, but in another way, the Lord is there. And this gets us to another misconception. What is the Lord doing in hell? Why is his presence there at all? And I think this is a big misconception. And I think our modern day culture and our picture on this is probably the reason we have a misconception here. So when you think about hell, you think about the fires of hell, but then you also probably picture Satan with a pitchfork and horns, and then you have his demons there. And the picture that we get is that Satan is somehow in charge of hell, and that his demons are doing all of the torturing on the unrepentant souls of those who have not turned to Jesus. There's a couple of things here to think about. If this is God's plan, for there to be a heaven and a hell, would Satan and his fallen angels really, participate in this whole hell thing? And would they really do God's bidding down there? Cooperate with God's plan? No. In fact, if we go to Matthew chapter 8, there's a story about two demon-possessed men. It says this about Jesus. "When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" And they shouted, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" So the demons are asking Jesus, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." What's going on here? What are the demons talking about? Well, it's this. Satan has no power in hell. And the demons have no power in hell. In fact, Satan and the demons will also be receiving punishment in hell for their rebellion. And they will also be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. It will not be the devil and his demons that are doing the torturing. So then, this is the disturbing thing, especially when it comes to our corrupted contemporary Christianity. This is the idea that I think stings for a lot of people, and it might sting for you too. Well, if the torturing is not coming from Satan or the demons, and we know that God is there, well, who's bringing punishment in hell? Where does that come from? We would like to think that God is not part of that punishment. But what is hell, really? Hell is God's wrath. Hell is God's wrath. And maybe for you, and for me too, because we don't face immediate punishment for our sins here and now, we start to think, well, isn't that harsh? That really seems unfair, this whole picture of hell. But we have to remember that sin against an eternal God, sin against an eternal God, is deserving of eternal punishment. Sinning against an eternal God is deserving of eternal punishment. Now, like I said, my hope here isn't to scare anyone about hell, but I think for us as Christians, it's an opportunity for us to really think about how great Jesus really is and how big for us his death on the cross is. It's not just Jesus being a good moral example, but it's Jesus genuinely and fully taking all of the wrath of God for sins that we deserve, putting it upon himself on the cross and dying for us. What Jesus did on the cross is absolutely amazing. It is the biggest deal in all of human history, in all of the history of our universe. It is a huge deal. That's why Easter is so important. And like I said, all of this is tough. This is tough stuff to talk about. It's hard to think about people being in hell. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to see anyone there. But it is a biblical reality. So some application for us today. I would say as Christians, we don't want to let God's mercy and grace today make us think that there is no judgment. I would say that this is the direction for a lot of liberal Christians, that there is no judgment, and they downplay sin, and they deny that Jesus' death on the cross was for the satisfaction of our sins, to cancel out the wrath of God that we deserve. Don't let that be a reality for you. Don't let God's mercy and grace today think there is no judgment. I would also say, you know what? Be way more offended by your own sin. This would be another application for us. Recognize just how offensive our sin really is to God. Sin against an eternal God is deserving of eternal punishment. And we can remember from time to time, maybe not every Sunday, but we can remember that preacher out of Pollyanna, death comes unexpectedly. But also that Jesus rescues and that Jesus saves, and none of us are so far gone that we're out of reach from Christ. I remember a guy I used to work with. He said, "You don't know what I've done, Pastor." I wasn't a pastor then, but, "You don't know what I've done, Barry. God wouldn't redeem me." And I said, "Yes, he would. You're not too far gone." Because he told me he was going to hell. So, let us get straight with the Lord. And also, may our passion, it's another application, may our passion, may our caring grow for others. May we tell more people about the good news of Jesus. When we run into people that are in the darkest night of despair and dealing with sin and all of this stuff, that we be a light in the darkness and say, "Hey, there is a Savior that loves you." Bow down, connect with Him in prayer, repent for your sins, and put your faith in Him, and He will give you new life. Finally, this week I actually had a child tell me that he was headed for hell. And I think he said it because he thought it'd be funny. But it is no joke. Let us pray that everyone takes the good news about Jesus seriously, about what he has actually done, that he died so that we would not end up in hell, but rather in heaven. So, let us pray. Gracious God, I pray for that young boy who jokingly said that he was headed to hell. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that I had to say that Jesus is Lord, that we can pray to him, that we can find him, and he will come and he will know us, and we will know him, and we can have the blessed promise and assurance of eternal life. Lord, I think about the many others who have put off thinking about life after death. Think about others who have gone to extremes to distract themselves from reality of your word. Lord, send us, and may we be a light in the darkness for them. Share with them the glorious crucifixion of your son Jesus, who put on the full wrath of God for us so that we could live. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now I'll invite the praise team to come up for our next song. And I think this one worked out great for just how awesome Calvary is.